You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. David, you know, I get this thing from Bloomberg every morning and every afternoon to say five things to look out for morning America. And all they're saying is that Jerome Powell has got the central bankers meeting at Jackson Hole, I think, this weekend. So everyone's looking forward to any hints about monetary policy from that. You've got the Democratic National Convention starting in a few hours' time, which I will stay up for. I want to see Hillary Clinton give her speech. She's the keynote speaker tonight. It still keeps me awake at night that she lost to Donald Trump. Imagine if she'd won, the trouble we would have been saved and the pain we would have been saved. She'd have beaten that freak. But anyway, apart from that, I can't really see much going on. What are you looking forward to or not?
I think, look, we've come back strongly, and I think it all comes out to what happens from now on. Everybody is waiting for Powell to speak. You know, Jackson Hole is a geek gathering. They talk the kind of language that you have no idea what they say. You know, even if you look at Powell, I mean, he's not exactly he's not exactly going to get up on a stage and entertain people and keep them in laughter, rolling in laughter, or so on. A very dull speaker. Can you imagine a whole gathering of people like that? And that's what you get there. It's very academic. Discuss whether their policies are working or not, and so on. So I think at the end he will give a keynote speech. He's probably not going to say anything other than what other central bank governors, or sorry, the Fed governors have been saying, that the time is approaching for them to start easing back. So I think it's baked in already that September there'll be a rate cut. Is it going to be 25 points or is it going to be 50 points? Probably, as things stand, only 25 points and more down the line. So markets they're happy with where they are at the moment, and recovered nicely. And you can see even from the JSE, which is roaring, which is just absolutely, screaming higher, not because of anything in the South African economy, just because everybody believes that we're in for a good time globally, and therefore you've got to buy stocks. So the results come out which are bad, and the stock prices go up. So I respect that. I'm saying that's fine. I can live with that.
This is all-time record highs, isn't it, on the all-share? Just below 84,000 as I look at my screen.
Yeah, it is a record high.
Record highs on the JSE. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And that's with a strong rand as well, 1780.
Sure. And I think that if you go through the numbers that came out, if you look at APSA's results, which came out today, they were pretty poor. For a bank, they were down and under pressure and exposing the strain that consumers are under. They've got their own problems. Another CEO is stepping down. I think they've had more CEOs than Chelsea have had managers.
That's impossible. But anyway, I can see what point you're trying to make. Yeah, exactly.
You can work it out. Hulamin come out with numbers as well. Also, difficulties there. Demand down for their product, for their old aluminium. MTN, a disaster, which we know about because of Nigeria and so on. And Thungela, which is a coal producer. So all the results that came down, but it didn't disturb anybody. And that's what I'm pointing to. So that's the market looking ahead. I'm not cynical. I'm saying the markets obviously, feel that there's very good valuations here. And a person asked me, will I buy in South Africa? And I said, the only time I'll buy is when I don't say my prayers every morning. And those prayers, every morning when I wake up, Lindsay, I say, please God, make sure that I've got electricity today and water. And don't think it's, even though Eskom is supplying, the grid is failing. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't have outages. And even now, just before you phoned, we had been out for just over 3 hours. So Benza, one of the power stations around here, kind of tripped and something, and large areas were out. So we've still got issues.
So it's not load shedding, this particular problem, said? A localized problem because of a poorly maintained station or substation. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's right through the system. There's all the time, you know, there's replacement of valves for water, and there's times that we're out for water for the whole day and so on. It's just a common occurrence. And all it does is expose how little maintenance and how poor the system is, you know, that areas get cut off for a large time, you know, for a long time. It's not for sometimes it's been out for days. So I'm not a lot – what I'm getting at, a lot has to be done here. There's still a hard, hard road ahead, even though things are looking up and we are going to go into a period of lower interest rates. But the market, you know, markets – Lindsay, what I think it's a weight of money. You know, there's pension fund in our country, you can only take 40% offshore. So, you know, it was a regulation 28. So you, for pension funds, provident funds and retirement annuity funds and so on. So you've still got to invest 60% in South Africa. And that money keeps accumulating every month as people pay their...
Chasing fewer assets, of course, when it comes to equities, yes.
Yeah. So I think it's the weight of money that is behind a lot of the, you know, a lot of the gains that we're seeing now. And that's why, you know, the safest place has been banks, because they're on low multiples and high dividend yields, and you're quite safe there. So,
who was that CEO, the one that I remember when I was doing the Classic FM radio show from Johannesburg? Steve something or other. What was his name? Do you remember?
Because
Steve Boyson. That's right. Yeah. And I remember the banking being very much more similar and less regulated than it is now. I do know why I brought it up, but I'm not going to mention why.
Poor Steve went and joined Steinhoff.
I think he went to the Efficient Group, you know, Darvey Root's Efficient Group, I think it's called. I didn't know he went to Steinhoff. Oh, that didn't end well, obviously, no.
No, shame. He came under a lot of pressure there. You know, and he's a good man. He's really a good man. But a lot of people join, and, I can't put any blame on him. I think he was a master deceiver, Mr. Uster. Anyway.
Yeah, but not anymore. Yeah. Anyway, I just remember easier days with banks. David, what else? So overseas, as you quite rightly say, everyone seems fairly happy. There's been a bit of volatility. What is it now? How long has it been since that wobble? Has it been 2 weeks? You remember that Monday wobble?
Yeah,
it's been two weeks now. And it's all calmed down a bit. S&P 500 futures, as I see it, is around about, 5,588. So only... From a futures perspective, 132 points off an all-time record high. You can't argue with that. And I don't know why Trump stands up and says, look at the economy. It's terrible. It's been destroyed. The country's been destroyed. The stock markets are going to crash. I don't see it, Donald. I just don't see it. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a very strong economy. There might be areas, you know, there might be the lower end of the population that may have been neglected, and they're the ones who make who perhaps have right to complain. But I don't, you know, America's in a very strong position, and that's another reason that that markets have held up. There is no, I don't want to say there's no chance of a recession. It's a very low chance of a recession, and from the evidence that we see now that's coming through in corporate results, It's quite a robust economy. And the next point we're getting to, the next action is going to be the reduced rates. That means that people will get more money, will go out and spend. So I think if things remain as they are and inflation is under control, you know, is it 2.2, is it 2.3, is it whatever it is, it is in the right direction. And I think you can get some good markets for the next 6 months, 18 months, or whatever it is. And I think other countries will follow suit. So it will broaden out. I think the big challenge we have now, Lindsay, I think that while I remain very positive about IT and still like the theme, you've got to expect it to slow down. You know, you can't keep growing at that pace. It doesn't mean it's not going to grow, but probably at a lower pace, but still very good growth. And over the next few years, you'll probably find that PEs will come down. So, you know, you might not get 20% growth in a company, you'll get 5% or 6%, 10% each year, which for me is fine. I'm talking share price growth. Mm. So we've now got to look for where else to go. You know, what do we do when interest rates come down? Where do you place your money? You know, and what areas are likely to benefit from this? And I think the world has changed so much since COVID, the way that we do things, and also through technology. This is when we were talking to Viv the other night. I was trying to, share my thoughts on. I think that those old companies, it's harder to be a manufacturer today. I think they may be a retailer. In other words, you know what I'm saying? It's harder to get your product on the shelves and like. Everything's changed. You can't just go and advertise on TV. The channels are so different now, and the competition is so wide that you've got to be much more careful. That's why I'm preferring the retailers, and especially the low-end retailers like Costco and Walmart, to perhaps some of the manufacturers, you know, the old Unilevers or Procter & Gamble's and Colgate's and places like that, Heinz and so on.
Yes.
So
I noticed Mars bought Pringles last week. Yes. Did you see that for $36 billion?
Yeah.
I mean, Pringles is a fine product if you, if you're sitting in front of the telly watching football and you've got the munchies and there's a tube of Pringles around. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not just Pringles, but that's their sort of flagship brand. Mm. That's an awful lot of money, David.
Mm. Yeah, it is. But you can get lots of different kinds of Pringles. You know, it is a lot. But it is a well-known brand name, and perhaps they feel that they can spread. Well, they can do well. I've had Nestle for a long time, Lindsay, and it's just been awful. It's just been an awful investment. You know, I always prided our portfolios. We got Nestle. This is a company of espresso with George Clooney, and it's got water, it's got pet food, it's got Kit Kats, your favorite, and it's and yet it's done nothing. You know, it just
it pays dividends, doesn't it?
Nothing marvelous. If you've held it for a couple of years, you're actually in negative territory. They've underperformed the market, and it comes back to that disappointment. I'm saying, why have I got them? You know, why have we still got them for clients? I know it's a solid business, but I'm sure we can do better. So that's the point I'm coming to, is that, you know, they've been taken out by, and they also got a Starbucks agreement. You know, they distributed Starbucks coffee, and yet just not there. And it could be management. I'm not sure what the underlying problem is. I say here, Nestle is over the last year, you're down 13%. You know, and I don't know what the 2 year is. This year to date, down 7.5%. So these are the issues that are, and even Carlsberg, this just, strengthens my case. Carlsberg down 24%. That's a beer.
Yes.
Why are they not, they're
you're telling me it is. Exactly. They used to sponsor the Premiership, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Until that became frowned upon. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So,
down 24% this year so far, or over 12 months. And that's also, so that's my point is, yes, that I would, they're finding difficulty. Therefore, go to the retailers where people are buying down and looking for cheaper products and so on.
Mm.
So that's a big question. You know, what happens when rates come down? Where are you going to make money?
Okay, well, we'll see. You should look at the last rate cutting cycle and have a look at the performance of certain sectors of the US stock market and learn from there. I don't think the fundamentals would have changed that much, David, even though the world's changed. I think if you have cheaper money, then certain sectors do well. That's your project for your next Business Day article.
Yes.
What else was I going to say? Just quickly look at these results that you spoke of earlier. I mean, absolutely, you said the results were bad, and yet the share price up nearly 5%. I mean,
that's my point.
What are they seeing?
I don't know. They're just seeing that banks are cheap. So, you know, even though the results are bad and they probably see things improving, as they mentioned, householders are under a lot of pressure, even though load shedding has come down and inflation is coming down. And they say that householders here are just wait and see. You know, they're not really going out and spending. I would imagine in for me, the big test about an economy is the housing market, you know, whether people are confident enough to go out and buy houses and make these long-term investments. And we're not seeing it here. I think the other thing is that interest rates are too high. So if you go through, there's lots of numbers to go through, but, you know, the headline earnings were down 5%. This is only a 6 months. One of the big issues that has been affecting APSA and also affected MTN is that they're quite widespread. You know, they've got operations in, well, APSA, I think, in 16 countries. MTN also very widely spread. And the translation of those, the income in those countries, you know, into rand or because they have dollar costs, has absolutely slaughtered these businesses. So at the end of the day, the rands that you actually receive are considerably down. And that punished, you know, we know the Naira has come down. That's a Nigerian currency that's been coming down consistently because of low oil revenues. And it's virtually destroyed the numbers from MTN. Yes. So even though they're doing well there, you know, when you translate it into rand, or common currency, it's a disaster.
It's been a short-term winner. I mean, someone who's been a long-term holder of MTN said to me, look at MTN now. And I said, yeah, but you bought it at 150. It's now 90. But it's come. What did it come from, the 70s, I think, David, this year?
No, much higher.
It rallied from a low. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is a very short-term bounce-up.
Hmm.
I think analysts are going out and talking the share up, that things are improving and that they're re-kind of basing their costs, you know, not in dollars. But you can't expand. You've got to buy in dollars. You're not going to buy equipment in Naira or in rands, you know. Mm. It's they don't make that kind of stuff. And the other thing that worries me about it, and this is nothing new that we've discussed, people don't want to pay for data. You know?
And if they do, you pay less. Yes. Substantially less. Yes. I told you my Vodafone story. Yeah. Nothing against Vodafone, but they were coming in at 80 euros a month. I'm now paying about between 25 and 30 a month for exactly the same service, exactly the same amount of data. I don't need data. What do I need data for? Occasionally, you know, do a bit of browsing, but generally, I don't need it. I've got superb Wi-Fi in the Netherlands. Yeah. I don't need to buy this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, eventually it'll all be free and they'll have financial services as their main driver of income, don't you think?
Yeah, that is, but that is incredibly competitive. You know, the financial services, you know, fintech, is everybody's trying to get into that area. So what you're going to do, start streaming football or rugby or something? It's for me, it's a utility. It's X growth.
Yes.
So it's not a – yes, they've got reach. They've got incredible reach, 100,000s of customers. But customers are also disloyal. You know, today you could switch numbers and people have very short-term contracts and so on. So I don't know. It's an area I avoid. And I was very keen in the early stage, especially with AT&T and Verizon. That was years ago, but been punished there.
Anyway, Hulamin was the other one that you mentioned, the share price down about 8% and a bit. It's interesting. Yeah. It's a small cap, obviously, but a favorite of one of our favorite portfolio managers, of course, very high-profile shareholder of it. But what happened to it?
Well, the problem is that I think the aluminium price went down. I think the exports, you know, they should never have been around. I mean, if you go back to the history of this, we're not a natural aluminium producer. The only reason that we produced aluminium here was because electricity somewhere in our past life was so cheap that it paid them to put up these huge factories, you know, I think which was Basel, Mosel, I can't remember the names, the Bayside, Mosel, and something else, Hillside.
Mm.
And BHP had them, which was then Gencor, originally BHP Billiton. And now it's hugely expensive because we don't mine alumina here or bauxite or anything. So we import that, convert it, and then poor old Hulamin has to buy it and roll it flat and then try and export it. So it's been a difficult operation. A very, very difficult operation. And you know, they're bemoaning the fact that their offtake demand, you know, foreign demand or export demand has been down. Local, they reckon up. I think that must be the beer producers or the cold drink producers, you know, for the aluminium tops that they produce. Mm-hmm. But I mean, apart from that, no, it's not a good, you know, it's not a, this is a difficult result. Which look, when your friend bought it, I think the share price has doubled since those days.
Oh, really? It's doubled since those days, you say, or it was double where it is now. Okay, yeah.
You could buy this company, I think, a year or two ago, or certainly during the COVID era for about 400, 500 million rand. You know, it's now, it's double that. Yeah, it was going for absolutely nothing, like so many operations, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's a time that your friend got in, and correctly so. It was an absolute giveaway.
David, okay, looks like it's going to be a relatively quiet week. Looking forward to the politics starting in Chicago in a few hours' time, which will be great fun. Hillary Clinton's up. Lots of celebrities coming in. They're all queuing up to be part of Kamala Harris's little party there. I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld, she's one of the speakers. I'm just trying to think. Clooney, I'm sure, will be there. Although he'll have to avoid Biden because of the things he wrote in the New York Times about him. And Obama and Michelle Obama, they're both speaking separately. So it's going to be good. And as one of the attendees said on CNN today, said this is going to shape the future of the United States. If they get it right, then everything changes.
You're not going to have WEF. What's it, the wrestling championship?
What was it? He was embarrassing. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, yeah. You're not going to have country and western singers, I think.
No, they say.
It's going to be a slightly different crowd, yeah.
They say that there is an expectation that either Beyonce or Taylor Swift will be performing. Yeah. And I think it would be brilliant because Taylor Swift, no, she can't perform.
She's in London.
She's in London, of course. How can she fly back? No, that's far too taxing. So it's, unless she does it quickly. I mean, she did that when she flew from Japan to the Super Bowl in a private jet and then went back somewhere. Well, I don't know. But anyway, it could happen. But Beyonce seems to be the favourite.
What's her name is, I mean, Trump has really put out.
He's lost it, man.
And he has lost it because he can't keep it straight. He's so angry, and the only way that he can retort is by being rude, you know, and mocking her laugh and mocking things like that. And you say, you know, you're going to be president of the United States, or you've got a chance, or you were president. You know, this is not the schoolyard. This is not the sand pit in nursery school where you throw sand at people or you insult them. You know, it's really
he was at a rally
such a low level
He was at a rally this weekend, David, and he should be standing up there at least for the first 20 minutes or so and talking about politics. He should be talking about the economy and immigration and inflation and the woes of society, a crime. He should be talking about international geopolitics and going through all these things and saying, this is what's happening and we're going to fix this, etc. But you know what he did? Because of that Time front cover of Kamala Harris, you've seen it. It was a sketch of her. You know that because you're a good sketch artist. Yeah. But he very good. In an article, they said she's a beautiful woman. That's what somebody said. It's difficult not to get a good picture of Kamala Harris because she's beautiful. This is what the journalist said. Mm-hmm. And Trump obviously read this. First of all, he's infuriated because he always wants to be on the front of Time as Man of the Year. Mm-hmm. And secondly, because they portrayed her as a beautiful, young, relatively young woman. And so what did he say over the weekend? No, nothing to do with Gaza or Ukraine or anything like that. He said, I'm better looking than Kamala, as he calls her, Kamala Harris. She's not as good. And he laboured the point as well. And you could see some of his supporters behind saying, oh, God, what are you doing?
I know.
Isn't that terrible?
I think it doesn't do him any good because those people who support, you know, the fringe supporters just shake their head in disbelief and leave the crowd as they did at one of the rallies now. When you looked at the background, you know, the seats were empty and people have just had it. I think people have had it, you know, just you don't want a man like that to run. No matter what you think of Kamala, just the last person you want is Trump. He is so immature. Mm. He's such a baby. You know, when I say baby, his whole style is just bullying. You know, that's all he can do. And anyway, we'll see, you know, whether it's where this goes to. I just hope that they are able to swing it. But that's American politics, as we've discussed it.
Yeah. They will swing it. I'm absolutely confident that they will do. David, the football season kicked off, and it's fairly predictable. You've got Liverpool beating my beloved Ipswich, very predictable. You've got Man City beating Chelsea, not so predictable, but was predicted, and they strolled through Chelsea yesterday early evening, and it was an impressive performance. And even then, they didn't play as well as they could do, but they still did it. You got Arsenal, your lot, beating, what was it, Wolves quite comfortably. Wolves. Who else did we have? Manchester United scraping in against Fulham. They were so lucky. So I'm dismissing them already.
Aston Villa
looks good. Yeah,
they're okay. It's you know, just looking at Man City, it's going to be hard to dislodge them.
Yes.
Very, very hard. You know what I mean? I looked at their bench. You know, I said, oh, no. You know, they can play three different styles. They can play three different teams and not look any different. You know, they've just got such a wealth of talent there.
Foden, Grealish, Kyle Walker, all just sitting there thinking, I wonder if I'll get a game today. I mean, there's hundreds of millions of talent on the bench. Incredible.
I know. And Kovacic comes through, bought for 27 million. You know, playing Chelsea, which has got 180 million. People in there. I don't know. Anyway, but they look strong. They just look incredibly strong.
Oh, don't say that. You know what's happening on Saturday, don't you?
No. We all got the same fear. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Okay, David. I'm feeling a little bit faint now after that. Ipswich away to Manchester City. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I preferred the Euros and the Olympics. I didn't feel the kind of pain, you know, or fear.
All right. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.